This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Last time we began a study of a lesson which we entitled, We Want to Be Saved, But Not From, and we listed certain things from which we do not wish to be saved. I read to you from Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, where a rich young ruler came to Jesus and said to him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And I pointed out that just as this man is at least showing a superficial interest in being saved from his sins and in gaining eternal life, in the final analysis he was not really interested in that. For when Jesus told him what to do, he turned and went away sorrowful, for, as the Bible says, he was one that had great possessions. Last time I pointed out then that most of us at least are like that. We want to be saved, but not from our sins. We're willing to be saved from poverty, from war, from ignorance, from disease, from economic insecurity, from boredom, but we're not willing to be saved from our sins. Such types of salvation, as I've just mentioned, leave our whims and our passions untouched. They lead us to believe that social Christianity, that is, things that have to do with slum clearance and all, is really what Christianity is all about. It causes some to hold that relieving economic adversity is the basic purpose of Christianity, whereas the basic purpose of Christianity is actually saving men from sin by the grace of God through the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is no other way to do it. The average man will say, you can discuss religion with me, but leave out repentance. You see, repentance involves a change of mind about your sin, a change of mind about your life. It leads you to love God and to hate sin. And a man who truly and genuinely repents will reform his life. He'll change what he's doing. And so while we want to be saved, we do not want to be saved from our sins. We want to go ahead doing all the wicked things that we're doing that we enjoy so much. And again, I pointed out that many of us want to be saved, but not at too great a cost. God offers us life through His crucified Son. Paul went into this in quite some detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and I urge you to read that. The timid person will flee from such a God, that is, a God who demands that we can be saved only through a crucified Son, because He in turn demands that same crucifixion of us. He demands sacrifice of us. For instance, notice in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and come after me. Let him take up his cross daily and come after me. We've got to deny ourselves, and we've got to be willing to face every day whatever is necessary in order to be faithful to Jesus, whether it be loss of lands, money, houses, popularity, friends, and so forth. You know, Felix, before whom Paul pleaded his case, as he had preached the word of God to him, and Felix was at least somewhat convinced, the Bible tells us that as Felix heard that, he was terrified. But instead of saying, as did the people on the day of Pentecost, what must I do to be saved, he rather said, wait until I have a convenient season, and then I will call for you. You see, the timid flee from a God who demands sacrifice and demands it now. We want to say, Lord, not yet. I'm not ready to do it. We must remember that we live in a world designed by God for us, in which is it at least possible that we can be hated. Jesus warned us about this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, and pointed out that if we're hated for the right reason, that is, because we're faithful children of God, then we should count ourselves blessed. And He told us that we should beware when all men speak well of us, because that indicates that we are not being faithful to God. Some of us want to be saved, but not at too great a cost. We want to be saved, but not in God's way. But next time we'll talk about that, and I hope that you'll be with us. Please do so as we continue this very important study.